Our text for meditation this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, selected verses. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Here ends our text. Our theme for this morning is, the battle is won in Christ. Dear fellow redeemed. There's a saying, you may know it, you may not. I've said it to a few of you in passing here on campus. How goes the battle? It's a simple enough question, but what does it mean? When I use it, it's kind of like saying, "What's up? How's it going?" I like the phrase because it makes one think just a little bit past that typical response that you hear when you hear, "How are you today?" That response is almost inevitably, "Good." Which I would argue that at least half the time, that isn't actually how any of us are doing. But it's socially acceptable to say, and it keeps us from going on for maybe a half hour or so about what's bothering us or on our mind or troubling us that day. But for the most part, for most of us, if not all of us, there's a real battle going on in our life. Our own personal battles, they can sometimes be big, sometimes they're small. And depending on the day and the level of turmoil that it's causing, we typically will respond to the question, how goes the battle, with varying levels of enthusiasm. One day it might be an enthusiastic good. And then the very next day it might be of a more somber notion. Huh, I'm doing all right. So think about where your good is at today. And what's your barometer? In other words, how do you evaluate what makes one day good, better, or best? As Christians, we know that despite our everyday battles, no matter what it is we are dealing with, whether it be big or small, that the root cause of it is sin. The Apostle Paul says this in Romans 5:12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned." We cannot escape this object of reality. It is real for all of us. The sin that we're conceived with, what we refer to as original sin, or our old Adam, it's the reason and the cause of all our sorrow, all of our grief, all of our struggle, all of our pain. The Word of God tells us that the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And that verse is pretty short and sweet, but in a not-so-sweet sort of way. So when it comes to the battle then, what really is our battle? Is it dealing with sickness, like I am right now? And I don't think I'm in the minority here on campus. Is it the everyday struggle of getting our homework done and keeping those grades up, especially in those classes that we really love to hate? What am I ever going to use this garbage in real life? I remember having that thought once upon a time. And then the day came when I needed to use it. That's a thought I remember. And in the sense also of feeling, do I fit in? Does anybody really care about me? All of these thoughts, all of these personal battles, they stem from the reality of the battle we see going on in ourselves, but more specifically between our Savior and the evil one in our text this morning. Just like Jesus, our battle at its core, it's not about our daily troubles in the way the world would define it, or the way we tend to mistakenly define it, and it's actually about how God defines it. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's in Ephesians 6:12. Our battle, quite frankly, is a daily battle against the devil, against the world, and against our own sinful flesh. And just like the devil came at Jesus in the wilderness with the intent to kill and to destroy, he comes at us too. He wants to kill us. He wants to destroy our faith. He wants to capture our hearts and our minds and enslave them in the enmity or the hatred and unbelief that we were born with, that we were conceived with. This is the real battle. And if left to our own devices, the battle would have been lost before it ever started. But thanks be to God, the battle is won in Christ. It's hard to really expound upon the immensity, not only of our own sin, but especially Christ's victory over Satan in the wilderness in 10 minutes. But in relation to our struggles and the battles that I've referred to, we can be sure of this. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15. What Jesus accomplished out there in the wilderness, total victory in warding off all the fiery arrows of the devil, he accomplished it for us. And though we rarely comprehend the depth of God's love, the breadth of his mercy, or the riches of both his wisdom and knowledge, or how he lavishes upon us all of it upon us for no good reason other than that he wishes to give us grace beyond measure, the fact is, his victory here at the beginning of his earthly ministry, and every victory thereafter, all those victories, they are culminated in the words Jesus uttered on Good Friday. It is finished. The battle is won in Christ. So the next time somebody asks you, how goes the battle? Why not respond, my battle is won in Christ. And then believe it or not, we can even be thankful for our battles. It isn't always easy to be thankful for the difficult things in life. The sickness, the failing grade on a test, a broken leg, a torn ACL, maybe having doubts or questions about what God's word does or does not say, or wondering whether or not he is truly working any of it for my good. But the fact is, he tells us that he allows it all for our good, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And if it is written, it is true. And just like Jesus, when we are in the midst of these trials and temptations, we ought to do what he did and remember the words, it is written. In those times, God's word will remind you that Jesus has already won the battle. God's word will remind you that you can't find perfection in yourself, but it is indeed in Jesus. God's word will remind you that it is in and of itself clear, pure, and without error. Finally, God's word will remind you that your Savior loved you so much that he allowed himself to be tempted, tortured, and tacked to a tree to take away your sins. And not only that, but the sins of the whole world. It is written, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. The battle is won in Christ. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was and evermore shall be, world without end. Amen. We'll close with hymn 447, verses 1, 3, and 4. 447, 1, 3, and 4.